Listeners, the Church of the Nazarene, thank you for tuning in with us as we share the Word of God today. Our theme is Women of the Bible Who Did Not Quit, and today our focus is on Ruth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you with our hearts full of gratitude for your goodness, for health, and for strength. We thank you for the freedom that we have to speak and to share your Word. We pray for our brothers and sisters across the world who do not have such freedoms. Hide your word in their hearts. Strengthen them in their innermost beings, that when trials come, they will be able to stand. Help us, Father, that we will not quit, but will seek to share your word with a lost and dying world. We thank you for this opportunity and pray that your word will not return to you void, but will, by the power of your Holy Spirit, touch the lives of those who need to hear it and bring about change in their hearts. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We read of Ruth when Naomi had lost her husband and two sons through death, and she was left alone with her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Naomi had originally come to Moab with her husband and two sons because there was a terrible famine in Judah. Now a widow with two daughters-in-law like herself, Naomi is lost. She has no means to make a livelihood, no nearby family to support her. Remember, she is in Moab, living in a land that is not her home. During this time, Naomi hears that the famine is over in her hometown, that the Lord had come to the aid of his people. With no one to take care of her, she packs her belongings and sets out to where there is hope for someone to take care of her. Before leaving, Naomi says to Orpah and Ruth, "Go back to your people," because she had nothing to give them, no more sons as husbands, nothing at all. But both women were stricken. They must have had a great relationship with Naomi because they did not want to leave her. Orpah is persuaded to return to her people and to her gods, but Ruth remains stoic in her decision. Even at Naomi's insistence, she remains resolute, and Ruth proclaims those well-known words, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." Could you imagine the love Ruth must have had for Naomi, that she was willing to leave all that she knew to follow her mother-in-law? Not only that, but also to the love she must have developed for the one true God. Ruth did not see an old woman to be discarded. She saw a mother to be loved and cherished. These two women make their way to Bethlehem. For Naomi, it was a bitter and sorrowful return. She had originally left with a husband and two sons and hope in her heart for a better life, but returned with empty hands and a daughter-in-law, she without a husband or an heir. As Naomi arrives in Bethlehem, the word of God says that the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Could this be Naomi?" They were shocked to see her. I was wondering if there was a look of despair on the faces of Naomi and Ruth. To the women of Bethlehem, Naomi proclaimed, "Do not call me Naomi, which means gentle or pleasant, but to call her Mara, because her life was now bitter and empty. This must have been a truly sad time for Naomi, as she returned to a homeland without a husband or sons to look after her. When I read this, or every time I read this passage, for some reason, I'm reminded of when, as a child, when growing up, and persons traveled overseas, especially to the US, there was the expectation that whenever they came back home, they're coming back better, and they're coming back with more things than they left with. Whether it was new clothing, chocolates or candies, sometimes even a different accent, you always expected a change. So for the people and women of Bethlehem when Naomi returned, they were certainly in shock that she came back with less, or as she said, empty or with nothing, when she came back into Bethlehem. Her husband and her sons had died. But we know that God has a plan for his people. And in this case, he also had a plan to bless Naomi and Ruth. The Bible is replete with examples of God's people finding a way out of situations. And I'm just going to quickly share two short incidences in the Word of God. In Genesis 22, one day when Isaac was still a boy, God came to Abraham and tested him. God told Abraham, "I want you to sacrifice your dearly beloved son," and this was the only son that Isaac had. He was to take him up to Mount Moriah, and he was supposed to sacrifice him. So Abraham gets everything together. He gets his servant, they get the firewood, they get the fire, and they're headed towards Mount Moriah. At the base of the mountain, Abraham leaves the servant and he gets his son Isaac as they travel up. Isaac carries the firewood and Abraham carries the fire. As they're going up Mount Moriah, his son Isaac makes this observation because he realizes we have the wood, we have the fire, but there is no sacrifice. So he asks this of his father Abraham, "Dad, I noticed that we have the firewood and we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" I cannot begin to imagine what was going through Abraham's mind. Abraham said to his son Isaac, "You don't worry, God will provide." They get to Mount Moriah, their destination, and Abraham begins to build the altar. He places the wood on the altar, and then he binds the hands of his son Isaac and places him on top of the altar. The word of God says that when he raised his hand with the knife, an angel of the Lord stopped him and provided for him a sacrifice. There in the bush was a ram caught in the thickets by its horns. God had provided the sacrifice. Abraham's obedience to God ensured that his descendants would number as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. In Daniel chapter 3, there's another record. All of us know the story, I believe, of King Nebuchadnezzar. He decided to build a golden image of himself, and it was expected that all the people around will bow down and worship him, or worship his statue, I should say, at a given time. So King Nebuchadnezzar, for the opening ceremony, he gathers the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, you name it, everyone, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, anybody you can think of who's of importance. In every province, all of the officials, they came out to dedicate this image, which he expected that everyone around would bow down and worship. The musicians came out and they were supposed to be an appointed time. So you had the persons who played the horn, the flute, the harp, the cymbals. And it says at the point of the symphony of this music, every single person was to bow down and worship the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. Among these people at this time were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three young men had no intention of worshiping an idol, because they know that to do so would be to dishonor their God. So at the time, at the sound of music, these three men did not bow down. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar was so full of angry, so full of anger, I should say, and the Bible had used the word fury, that the look on his face or the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He commanded that the furnace to be heated 7 times more hotter than usual. So his intention was to destroy anyone who had disobeyed him. When Nebuchadnezzar's men were about to throw the 3 boys into the furnace, it says that the heat was so intense that those men died. The 3 boys were thrown into the furnace, and the king got a shock of his life. He knew that he had only thrown 3 men into the furnace, yet he saw 4 men not being burnt up. They were walking around in the midst of the fire, unharmed. And the fourth person looked like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar must have gotten a shock. So he calls out to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out of the furnace. The Bible says that not even a hair on their bodies was singed. Their garments were not affected, and they did not even smell like smoke. Their obedience to the point of death led to their promotion, but it also led to something greater. King Nebuchadnezzar made a new proclamation that all the peoples of all the nations must now worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God also goes through the bad and rough situations with his children. He never ever leaves us alone. So Ruth settles in the strange land, and unlike Oprah, who had returned to her family and friends and her Moabite gods, Ruth had taken a whole new route. She had decided to embrace Naomi's God and Naomi's way of living. So Ruth had to take on her first task. Remember, they're back home, there are no husbands around, and there are no sons around. So she had to find a way to provide food for herself and for her mother-in-law. Ruth and Naomi could not have returned to Bethlehem at a better time. The barley harvesting was now beginning, and this meant that there may be plenty of food to be had. Ruth said to her mother-in-law that she would go to glean in the fields. Now, you must know that this was not a paid job. This was a woman, a widow, going into a field and picking up the scraps of what was left behind by those hired by the owner of the land to harvest the crop. Think of it like this. It's harvest time in Barbados. The men are chopping the canes, and as they chop the canes to throw on the truck, some fall by the wayside. And little children like me at that time, we're running and we're picking up a piece of that sweet Bajan sugar cane to suck. That is what Ruth was going to do. She was going to walk behind those men who were harvesting in the field and picking up what was left in order that she and her mother-in-law Naomi would have something to eat. But remember what I said, God had a blessing for Naomi and Ruth. I think there were some points along this journey that Ruth could have chosen to quit. She could have quit, I think, at the point of her husband's death. After all, there were no children. She was still in Moab. She could have gone back to her family, but she did not quit. The society in of her time would look after a widow. She would be left to the society to look after her, and that was not a very secure, I think, position to be in. But Ruth did not quit. She could have quit when her mother-in-law decided to return to Bethlehem. It would have been a long journey for 2 women to have to travel. She could have quit then, but she did not. She could have quit when her sister Orpah decided to return to her people and to her gods. But Ruth did not quit. She did not return home. She decided to follow Naomi on the long journey home. In our lives, we have struggles. It may seem as though the odds are against us. Maybe our families do not like the choices we have made, the job we've settled on, or the partner we have chosen. We may have illness, and we've been praying about it and praying about it, but it seems as though God has not heard or He has not healed us. and we can decide to quit. We must be assured that if we are following the word of God, that God, He is going to be with us. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. As Christians, we always walk in opposition to the way of the world. Today, let the light of Jesus shine through in our lives so that the world sees the example of who Jesus is in our speech and in our behavior. Ruth saw something in her mother-in-law that wanted her to stay with her, even if it meant going into the unknown. Ruth's pledge was to serve the God that Naomi served, because even in the face of grief and uncertainty, Naomi was returning home. No empty, but she was returning home. Ruth's decision to glean in the fields was not by chance, but by the design of God. Remember I said, God always has a plan for His people. Her obedience to her mother-in-law, who could not even produce another husband for her, was not forced, but was forged out of a relationship that I believe showed a life that was lived for God. No wonder Ruth was determined to stay with Naomi, because she had heard about the one true God, a one true God that was obviously lived out in that household. No going back to the gods of the Moabites, but moving forward into the unknown with the God who knows the future. And that is the God we serve today, a God who knows the future, who knew who we would become even before we were formed in our mother's womb, because God knew about us then. So that's the God that we speak of today. That's the God that we can trust in. As the book of Ruth further tells us, Ruth goes on to glean in the fields that were harvesting barley. One day, while harvesting, Ruth comes to the attention of Boaz, the owner of the field. When he finds out who she was, Boaz gave the order that Ruth is not to be harmed, because here is a woman who is a widow, which means she has no one really looking out for her, and he allows her to not only harvest or to glean in his field, he allows her to rest and to eat with the workers for her own protection. Boaz even instructs her himself that she is to stay in his field to glean whatever was left by the workers. Boaz had instructed his workers, unknown to Ruth though, that allow some to drop so that she would have something to pick up. So Ruth was not just picking up scraps dropped carelessly by the workers. She was picking up barley left specifically for her. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs, and He supplies them according to His riches in glory. Sometimes it's those menial tasks that brings us the most blessings. And as we go on with Ruth's story, you're going to realize that there were blessings in store for her. At the end of the day, Ruth goes home with so much grain that Naomi is shocked. When Ruth tells Naomi that she is gleaning in the fields of Boaz, Naomi realizes that this is the beginning of Ruth's story and not the end. Through the wisdom of Naomi, her mother-in-law, Boaz, her dead husband's family, becomes Ruth's kinsman redeemer. Boaz is able to observe the character of Ruth. He is able to observe the respect that Ruth demonstrated towards her mother-in-law. Now remember, Ruth is still a young woman. She comes back with her mother-in-law. She could have found another husband. She could have decided, gleaning is hard work. There's no way I'm going to stand up in the sun or walk behind these people picking up barley. I'm going back home to Moab. She could have decided that. No, she stayed with her mother-in-law and she worked to help her mother-in-law. Not only that, Boaz was able to see how she conducted herself in his presence. So he had an opportunity to witness a young woman take care of a woman really and truly that she was not related to, and he was impressed by that. At the end of her story, Ruth the Moabitess becomes the wife of Boaz, and together they produce an heir named Obed. Now, not only Ruth was blessed, but Naomi as well, with that new addition to her family. out of this generation, if you know the story, comes Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. And David is the one who is called the man after God's own heart. So I want you, when you get an opportunity, to get your Bibles out and read the story of Ruth. Because in this lineage comes someone even greater than David. All it started out was a woman called Ruth who decided not to leave her mother-in-law, but to follow her to her home, to give up on her old gods, to give up on her family, to take on the life and love of the one true God. This morning, your life's journey may not be as difficult as Ruth's, or it just may have more gloom and doom. Remember, you are not alone. God offers His Holy Spirit as a comforter to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the repentance and for the forgiveness of their sins. Today, trust Jesus at His word. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and believe in His forgiveness. He has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. Will you trust Jesus today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to your people today. Bless us with your faith that helps us to know that you will never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for your daily provisions, for your promises that are true. Thank you, Father, that we can believe and trust in you, that we can trust in your word, because your word is truth. Thank you, Father, for hearing the prayers of your children. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning, we also want to thank Federal Motor Spares and the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District, who sponsors this program for us. We are also inviting you to come out to the sending service for Danielle Miller at 6 p.m. at the Comerock Church of the Nazarene. Have an awesome day of worship. Goodbye.
Listeners, I do hope that you are inspired and challenged by the messages this month in the series Women Who Didn't Quit. I want to thank the ladies who shared each week: Sister Sonia on the persistent widow, Sister Donna on the woman with the issue of blood, Sisters Candace and Linda on Esther, and today our Sister Janice on Ruth. I am sure that as you listen, whether you are a woman or a man, that the Holy Spirit would have nudged you about the area in which you need to be persistent and not quit. Just be obedient then to the Holy Spirit's leading. Don't quit. As we go, listen to the song by Mary entitled Can't Give Up Now. Goodbye. God bless you all.
Said that everything would go the way I wanted to. to go. But when my back is against the wall and I feel all hope is gone, I'll just lift my head up to the sky and say, help me to be strong.
Worth the living just because.